Proverbs chapter 7 in your Bibles tonight, and hopefully, God willing, we could get through this tonight and then prepare our hearts for the Lord's table tonight. Proverbs chapter 7. Isn't Proverbs a beautiful book? Amen? Beautiful wisdom, heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. And we thank God for every word that is written in the book of Proverbs. And for the whole Bible, as a matter of fact, amen. Thank God for every word that God has given to us. I'll read just a few verses, because in the course of the message, we're going to reflect through perhaps every verse we'll touch on. We won't really labor on every verse, else we'll be here all night. But I'll touch on a few verses in our Bible reading. We'll pray again, and then we'll get into the message tonight. So Proverbs chapter 7, and we'll look at verses 1 through to 5, and then we'll look at verses 24 to 27. Notice what the Bible says. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as an apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And call understanding thy kingswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Let's go to 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight and we thank you for this portion of scripture. Father, we know that every word written in the Bible is not by accident. You have purposely placed every word there by the inspiration of God, and we thank you, Father, for every word that you've given to us. Father, we know tonight that without your word, we're done, we're finished. And we ask and pray tonight that you'd continue to teach us. Perhaps some of us would have failed in some areas, but I pray, Lord God, that you would give us some principles tonight that we would follow after, that we would hearken unto, that we would listen and store up and keep and diligently, Lord God, apply them to our lives. Father, we know that you're for us and not against us. We know, Father, that you want to protect us and you don't want it, Lord God, you don't want to destroy our lives. And Father, so therefore we ask and pray by your grace tonight, you help us not only understand thy word, but go out and live it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, as we look into the Proverbs chapter 7, we'll note four different kinds of people, and the first person we'll look at is the simple. The simple. The second person we'll look at is the strange. The third person we'll look at is the strong. And the fourth person we'll look at is coming up. This is the one where we want to be, and I want to leave that to the conclusion. But the fourth person is the person that we all want to be, whether we're male or female. Amen? But the first person I want to look at tonight is the simple. Notice verse 6, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says. For at the window of my house I looked through the casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. The word simple here means silly or stupid. And the silly one or the simple one, first of all, lacks understanding. The Bible said he's void of understanding. What's this mean? He forgets what he has been taught by his teachers. Easily forgotten. Doesn't apply what he hears. Doesn't take the word of God seriously. Doesn't adhere to it. And so we see that the one that is void of understanding, lacks wisdom, cannot discern when danger comes. When danger comes their way, they cannot discern because they're simple, they're silly, they're stupid. Why? Because they have not hearkened to the words of their teachers, whether they be godly parents, godly authority, whether they be teachers of the word, whatever it case may be, they have not hearkened to the word of God. And we see that from verse 24. Hearken unto me now. That's the title of the message. Hearken unto me now. That's wisdom crying out. The wisdom that we've been taught and the wisdom that we are taught from a week in or week out, or the sermons that we hear from a daily basis, or when we're in the Word of God, the Word of God calls us to hearken, to listen, to do. And this simple one, this silly, stupid person, does not retain the Word of God. Easily lost, does not store up wisdom, easily forgotten, and continues to be vulnerable. And does not consider, the simple one, the consequences of their action. They don't look ahead. They're not prudent enough to see the dangers and say this: if I do this, the Word of God says this will happen. If I do that, the Word of God says that will happen. They don't have that discernment to look ahead and see, so they can hide themselves. The Bible says the prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. That's the one with wisdom, but the one that lacks understanding doesn't hide himself. He's just simple, foolish. He takes the bait. And why? Because he's consumed with lustful and fleshly activity. He's not spiritual, he's carnal. And remember when we first started in the book of Proverbs, we saw the purpose for the Proverbs. Actually, go back to Proverbs chapter 1, have a look at Proverbs chapter 1. And look at, we see the purpose of the Proverbs. Why did God give the Proverbs? He said the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. What's it for? Why did God give the Proverbs to Solomon? Well, number one, to know wisdom and instruction. And number two, to perceive the words of understanding. Number three, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. Number four, get it, to give subtlety to who? To the simple, to the young man, knowledge and what's that word? Discretion. The whole point that God has given us his word is that we would be discerning and not simple, not silly, but would be subtle in a good way, would be wise as a serpent. Amen? We'd know and understand. We would not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. We'd understand the consequences and the danger that comes with yielding, if you will, to the temptation of Satan. But I want you to see, second of all, a simple person lurks in secret. Have a look at verse 8 in Proverbs chapter 7. Go back to Proverbs chapter 7. Look at verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Most of the things that are simply taking place in our day takes place in the dark. I remember when I was living out in the world, outside of Christ, I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when people would be asleep, I was awake. And I would get in, so I'll tell you something, I would get to very, bad activity. And the reason why things take place in the dark is because people just don't want to be seen. People don't want to be found out. People want to do things in secret. I remember Judas, when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, it was in the dark. It was at night. I remember when Nicodemus went to see Jesus, he went and saw him by night. And I wonder, why did Nicodemus see Jesus by night? I'm thinking to myself, maybe he didn't want his Pharisee friends to find out that he was going to see Jesus. Because, you know, a Pharisee going to see Jesus probably would have been not that popular. But he went by night, maybe not to be seen. I'm going to just remember three things the next time you're tempted to do something wicked in secret. Number one, the Lord is always watching. Always remember that. You may think nobody's watching. You may think when you're clicking on that link or watching that YouTube video that is immoral and wicked, You may think that there's no one watching, you're in your room, but I want to remind you here tonight that God is watching. Number two, your sin will eventually find you out. It could be 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years. It will come and it will bite you. It will get you. Number three, you will not prosper. And there's one thing I know about my God is, number one, he's not a respecter of persons. Number two, he's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. We only have to look at the Old Testament saints and see and understand that God was not in any way, shape or form a respecter of persons. Yes, he was a loving God. Yes, he was a forgiving God. But he would not allow you to get away with murder. So we understand we can be forgiven. Amen. Praise God for God's mercy and forgiveness in our life. But listen, sin always has a consequence. And this young, simple man went out in the dark thinking he wasn't going to get caught. Got caught big time. Thirdly, a simple man leaves his place. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 22, notice. Proverbs 7, verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, and as a bird hasten to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Man, let me tell you, he left his place straightway, the Bible says. Straightway he goes to the slaughter. It's too late. And listen, once you dabble with sin and you yield to that temptation, guess what? It's too late to pull back. It's too late. Once you leave your place and you go and try to play with fire, you will be burnt. The Bible says here, he's like a bull heads to the slaughterhouse. Instead of eating that beautiful green grass, he charges straight to the slaughterhouse and there goes his life. And he likens a fool that falls into captivity, bound in chains, he'll only suffer shame. And like a bird that has its eye on the bait, but it's ignorant of the trap, it will be lost. It will lose its life. If you notice Proverbs chapter 7, verse 8, notice the Bible says, as a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. What happens when a bird leaves the nest where there's comfort, security, if you will? What happens when it just goes and flies away? It's more vulnerable to the prey. And if a man leaves his place, and we see Proverbs chapter 5 crying out, why will you embrace the bosom of a stranger? You've got a beautiful wife. Why be embraced with someone that you don't know as a stranger? And here, the wife of your youth embrace. Why would you leave your place? Why would you go lurking in the night? Why would you go and leave that place of security? Calls out for the simple one. Cries out, the simple one, the one that lacks discernment, the one that is silly and stupid, leaving their place and going and playing with fire. But second of all, we're going to see the strange. The strange. She is seductive. Okay? Now, there are three ways in which the strange woman seduces a man. Anyone can help me tonight? What are the three ways after reading this text? You'll find three ways. First of all, she uses her words. Second, she uses her eyelids. That's in Proverbs chapter 6, I believe, verse 25. Back it up a bit. Let's have a look. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. What does it say there? Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with what? Her eyelids, the way she looks at you. A flirtatious, seductive look. And by the way, looks can kill, amen? Looks can kill. And thirdly, of course, her dress. And that's in verse 10. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's look at the words that she uses. Have a look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5. And by the way, ladies, I'm not insinuating that anyone here is a strange woman. All I'm saying is that we can learn from this person and we say, I do not want to have any kind of symptoms that this lady has. I want to be delivered from even being tempted in the slightest to have her symptoms. I'm not, no way in the world, I'm God's lady, I'm God's woman. I fear God, but I don't want to behave myself like her. I want to be a holy woman. Amen? And so we can learn something from her, and we can say, listen, I don't want to use my words to flatter or to flirt. And we understand that that can easily be done. And notice how verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And we can peer through the Proverbs now. We'll peer through quickly and see how she does this. Verse 13. So she called him and kissed him, and with an impudent face, look at, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. Sounds religious. Sounds spiritual and good. Wanting to keep the ceremonial law in order for her to violate the moral law. Can you believe that? But it's only a bunch of rhetoric. It's all spiritual talk. It's rubbish. But she used a bit of spiritual talk to get him. A bit of religion, if you will. And so we see in she's acting pious here, trying to wheel him in by her speech and saying that she has a peace offering. She wanted him to partake with her. And then let's have a look at verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. Oh, you're special. Out of all these, I found you, and you are absolutely charming. I diligently sought you out of the crowd, you know? You're handsome. What flattery. Wow. Yeah, with her looks and with her talk, she's just wheeling him in. He's just a simple young person, doesn't know what's going to take place, but soon you'll understand what takes place. Verse 16, I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I've got the best of the best. You know, buying this kind of, you know, linen and this kind of bed sheets, if you want to call them that, man, that's expensive. That's posh. And this guy already, you know, maybe this woman, she's not one of these gold diggers. She's got money, perhaps. Man, she just, wow, she doesn't want anything. She really likes me. She's decked her bed, made it ready for me. Wow. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but I will say this. That's not love. Adultery is lust. And that's what it is. It's not love. When someone is discontent in their marriage and they're not getting perhaps the love that they are desiring perhaps from their spouse, and they go and try to find it elsewhere, and maybe that person will let that person know what they want to hear, and that person tells them and yields to them, and it hasn't been long enough, feels, you don't love me. You love me. Unlike my husband. My husband doesn't show me the attention that he ought to. You do. But it's not love. It's lust and it's lies. It's something that at the end of the day spill out. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth like gravel. You know, after it's done, it's like, you have been caught. You are done. It would be an absolute terrible feeling to yield to this kind of person, because there's consequences that comes with it. Now she continues to persuade him with words, verse 19, for the goodman is not at home. He's gone a long journey. Now it's starting to kick in. Goodman, what do you mean? He's not her, you married? But now the temptation has been already there, the luring, if you will, the love, and the invitation has been heated up. He's gone. He's taken a bag of money with him. He's gone for a long journey. Verse 20, he hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at a day appointed. Imagine how this person's feeling at the moment. But notice verse 21, this is it here. With her much, what are those two words? She caused him to yield. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. By the way, let me just stop here and say, that's the very exact same thing Peter talks about the false prophets, using fair speech to deceive again the simple, making merchandise from them. Devouring, if you will, the vulnerable. It's the same thing. You know, words, they're amazing. They're powerful. Yeah, you just have to ask Delilah. Yeah, she understands how powerful words can be. I mean, it was the words of Delilah that caused Samson to yield to her. They're powerful. They can be used for good or bad. And with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Look at, with the flattering of her lips, she what? Forced him. Wow. And you may stand back and say, how vulnerable can you be? Are you serious? Well, you don't understand. That's how powerful a strange woman is. Meeting you at the right time, in the right place, the devil knows when you're vulnerable. You say, oh, it never happened to me. Be careful. Take heed. Hearken unto me. And maybe not now. Maybe you're all well and good. But maybe down this track when he finds you when you're not ready. That's, look, do you think that God in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, and all the way at the end of the Proverbs talks about it again? Do you think, like, come on, we've got a third almost of Proverbs talking to us and warning us about the flattery and tongue of a strange woman and the forward mouth of a wicked man. Because we know the destruction that they could cause by just looking at the warning that God gives us. She's seductive in her words. Second of all, she is seductive with her dress. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a what? Harlot. There was a woman that dressed like a harlot. You look back in the Old Testament and the way they dressed, we get a glimpse of that in Genesis, is they would just cover their face and you perhaps will only see their eyes and they would know that she is a harlot. I would say that majority of her body was covered. And so I wouldn't do this if I were you. You perhaps would get bad things on the internet. I tried and I thought, I better not. But I wanted to see if there was any photo of what they would picture or paint of a harlot dressed back in the Bible times, going back several years. Now, let me say this to you. I would not even dare to put in the attire of a harlot today. I wouldn't even dare to do that. But you don't have to go to King's Cross and on the street corner anymore to understand what the attire of the harlot is. Man, you just have to walk down your local street and you can see. And you ask yourself, why? Why? Because they know, and Hollywood portrays this, because they want to lure men in to look. That's what she wanted to do. There's something about dressing in a way that seduces a man. You just have to read the magazines that the ladies have their small talk and whatever, and all the rest of that. I'm not going to go into it, but you understand what I'm talking about. And we'll be foolish to say, no, that's not the case. It is the case. And if you look at our society and our culture today, it's absolutely getting worse and worse, isn't it? The mall, you can't even walk in the mall anymore. The mannequins are naked. And the mannequins, the posters and the magazines. And by the way, those magazines, those dirty magazines, when you walk into the petrol station and they're on there right where the chewing gum is, so you can look at them, she's looking at you like this. What are you looking at me like that for? You know, no matter where you look or where you stand, she's looking at you. She's seducing. Take me. That's what it is. One man of God said this. He said, Hollywood styles, painted, powdered, and perfumed. Beneath her charming exterior lies a sensuous, seductive woman that's subtle in heart. She knows what she's doing. She knows that she's, have you heard the proverb? Dressing to kill. Dress to kill. I'm only laboring here because is this in the Bible? Is that okay? Yeah, I'm just telling you that we're up to this, and she was dressing in the attire of a harlot to seduce this simple man. And how many people today have been taken in by women that are seductive? And oh, they're not supposed to be looking. It's his problem. By the way, let me just say, it is his problem and God will deal with him, but it's also your problem if that's what you're trying to do. Isn't that a cop-out all the time? I'll say, that's his problem. He shouldn't be looking. Well, yeah, of course. And he needs to, and I've preached this before, maybe get one of these neck braces, you know? You know those, when your neck, for your neck, yeah? You know, you put those neck braces, or one of those blinkers for the horses, so they just run straight ahead, they're not looking to the left, they're looking to the right. Yeah, look, I've said this, again, I'll say it again, you are not responsible for the first look, but you are surely responsible for the second and the third, and your head goes all spasm. Man, what was that? Can't believe what I just saw. Well, don't look again. Amen. And as tempting as it is, honor the Lord. Because it's not, we can't change the world. We walk down the street, else you're going to be like a little monk in your room and really just zoned out like that. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants to go out and reach these people. I'm saying to you here today, there are some people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. And once they come to the Lord, they are changed inside out. And they love the Lord and they start learning and growing. I have no offense against this woman. She perhaps needs the Lord like any other person. But I'm saying to you today, ignorance is a curse. You can't be ignorant of this thing. You have to look at it straight in the face and say, Lord, when you look in that mirror and say, Lord, do I really want to honor you today? Or do I really want people to look at me today? You guys, you girls, you ladies, you just have it hard. You really do. You know, some ladies don't even care about guys because they found a guy and they love him. But you know why they still dress in a seductive way? To build their self-esteem for the guy that they're with. That's all. They're trying to please their own spouse and get their spouse to look like he used to when he stood there and vowed with his life that I love you and there's no one else but you. And now that's kind of died out. And she kind of watches him from afar looking at other places and she goes, okay, well, maybe I should just dress a little more seductive so my husband will look at me. She doesn't care about any other person. But what takes place is when someone looks at you, your self-esteem goes up. But you know, ladies, what you ought to do is say, I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to trust the Lord. She used her attire, her clothing to seduce this man. And she wanted him to take the bait. But notice, second of all, she's subtle. Verse 10, look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. You know, she doesn't care about him. She doesn't care about love. It's not about that. She is absolutely deceitful. She's a liar. She desires to destroy homes and families. That's all. She just wants him to yield to her. She has a problem with her. Can I say this? Speaking about Hollywood, and every time I get to mention it, it goes on a little hobby horse because I know what it did to my life. But let me just say this. Hollywood is one of the greatest means to lure people to imitate strange women. Whether you like it or not, subconsciously, when you watch those movies, I want to be her. Look how she turns heads. She gets in the room. You see all the guys. And the lady goes, okay, how can I turn heads like that? It begins to be deceitful and subtle. It's not about true love. It's about getting a person to yield to you, to look at you. She's sneaky. You know, the Bible talks about a woman that is seductive and simply, you know, with her words, with her attire, with her whole demeanor, absolutely destroys. If you want to turn there, go quickly to Proverbs chapter 5 and I'll show you. The Bible talks about a woman that is subtle to the point where she causes destruction. And we know that by looking at the last part of Proverbs chapter 7. But the Bible talks about two different two-edged swords. I want you to get this, okay? Two-edged sword. You got a sword? Two-edged. Verse 1, Proverbs 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thy ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman, listen, she's subtle. I want you to see how subtle she is. Drop as a honeycomb. Honey, sweet. But really, it's sour. It's not sweet. Not at all. It may seem sweet. She may talk sweet, but she's really your enemy. Her mouth is smoother than oil. But look at her end. Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Why does it say that? It's going to slice you up. She's that subtle that she's luring you in to ruin your life. She absolutely wants to destroy you. We have heard countless stories of people and their lives being destroyed because of a strange woman. Family broken up, divorce cases, endless. But there's another sword that the Bible talks about. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. In Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful, look at, and sharper than any two-edged sword, even her one. You know why? Because it's our defense mechanism. She comes our way, I just quote scripture. I'm not having this. I have my soup. Amen. I'm done. See you later. I'm not even buying into that. I'm not even going, oh, God, help me. And you know what? Because when you lay up treasure in your heart, you know, the heart, treasure, when you lay it up there, you have stored wisdom for the day of temptation. That's what you need to do. Stored wisdom from when the temptation comes. Man, it's not even a temptation. Forget it. I'm out of here. Why? Because you've got the two-edged sword ready to pull out. Praise God for that. But next, you see, she's stubborn. Verse 11, Proverbs 7, verse 11. Have a look at verse 11. She's loud and stubborn. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's disobedient. She's unruly. She's boisterous. She's highly opinionated. She's a busybody. She's always up to mischief. And God help us. And God help us that we will not be people that are stubborn. Amen? But let's go now to the strongs. Time is fleeting. Let's look at the strong. We've had enough and you kind of get the gist. Amen? All right, the strong. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24 to 26. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Can you think about some that have been slain? The writer himself. If anyone knew what he was talking about, I think he did, didn't he? You want to look a little bit in his life? Let's go. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll just take a glimpse. 1 Kings chapter 2. Look at Solomon started out well in his early life, listening to the counsel of his father, and I'm sure his father had some experience as well, okay? Have a look at verse 1 in 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou what? Strong therefore, and show thyself a man. Quit you like men, be ye strong. Don't be moved, be strong. And we see he started off well. Have a look at chapter 3. Remember when God said to Solomon in the beginning of his reign, ask this one thing. You remember that? And I will give it to thee. And God was pleased with what he asked, and he asked for wisdom that he might rule God's people. He says here in verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, not one that is void of understanding, not one that lacks understanding, no, one that is of an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between what? Good and bad. And so he started off well, but then have a look at 1 Kings 11. Strong in wisdom, strong in the word of God, but doesn't matter. Can I just say this to you tonight and take heed, hearken unto me now, take heed. You can be strong but foolish. Yeah. You can be strong because you've been given counsel and instruction and you have all this instruction, but you could be foolish because you don't apply what you've been taught. And as the Bible says, remember we touched on this last week, the week before, a simple man that doesn't hearken to instruction is what? Silly, brutish, brute, beast, fool. Brutish, that's a good word. That's more than just fool. You're a brute beast. You're a moron. That's heavy, don't you think? Yeah, Solomon, I think, understood what was taking place. I mean, have a look at verse 11. But King Solomon loved many what? Are you with me tonight? King Solomon loved what? Many strange women. After all that, you know how much Proverbs God had given Solomon? Over 3,000. What happened? What took place? And it can happen to the best of the strong men. And that's why the Old Testament was written, for our admonition and our learning and our warning and our, we must take heed and hearken, for strong men have fallen. And Solomon was one of those strong men. Have a look at verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. See you later. You know, when you see someone fall, or you see someone gone, you see him where they fall, but it came way before, my friend. You just didn't see it. It came way before. You see what you see. You see the fall, but there are other things that are taking place that ended up to that fall. And they're called principles that we ought to follow from the Word of God. Well, what about the next one? Strong man. Literally, Samson. Oh, man. Come on, Samson. Talk about naive. Come on, like seriously. Went in, and we won't go to that scripture. We'll just look at David briefly. But went in and dabbled with prostitution. Took a lady. Fell in love with a lady, I believe it's lust, lady of the Philistines named Delilah. And the enemies thought it, we got him now, let's get Delilah, pay her some money, and she will get him. And sure enough, they knew that a strange woman can cause destruction, and she did. And eventually he yielded by her flattery. Oh, Samson, you don't really love me. Samson, if you love me, you do this, you tell me. Oh, and you know what happened to Samson. But David is another man that we look at in 2 Samuel. Turn to 2 Samuel. Another strong man. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And have a look at verse 1. And you may ask yourself here tonight, I don't get this one, because how can Bathsheba be a strange woman? Well, think about it. Think about it. I don't know about their culture, but I'm sure it was wrong. Does anyone in this room bathe where other people can see you? Do you have a shower openly in public or somewhere where people can see you? Well, I guess this was her downfall. Verse 1, and it came to pass after the years was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants, with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And we know, and we've heard preaching about this, that he was idled and he was supposed to be in battle, but he stayed back. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Now, I don't know why she would expose herself like this. The Bible doesn't say, but it does say that she was very beautiful to look upon. And David's downfall was the fact that he looked, and then he inquired. He asked for her. And can I just say this? That's where it starts. It starts by looking. Say, looking where? On the internet. Clicking that link in the dark room of your house where nobody's watching. That's where it starts. And you fill your mind with that rubbish and that junk. And then your desire begins to be curious and want more. And by the way, that is what it is. It is absolutely junk and rubbish. It is filthy to the core. It is fake. It's cosmetic cosmos. It is animal style. It's yucky and disgusting. And anyone that wants to go and watch isn't. I'm telling you now. Yes, he's struggling, but you're an animal. How dare you watch filth like that? How seriously? Especially if you're married. That ought to have the fear of God in our hearts. And you know, that's the problem today. And then we're going to get to the fourth person. There's a lack of fear of God in our hearts because we are so consumed with ourself and our lust. We love our sin more than the Savior, and that's the problem today. But God hates sin. Cost his son, his son's life. That's how much he hates it. And that's where it starts, my friend. You say, oh, it's not that bad. David lost a son. He lost his boy. Judgment came. The sword came upon his house. God at all wasn't pleased. Have a look at verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David done, what happened? Displeased the Lord. Do we care about that? Or we can throw a stone at the preacher, preaching hard against sin. I'm just going to say like David Clouts called it. I'm not tougher than the Bible. I'm barely scratching the surface of how God feels about wicked immorality. I haven't even looked at part of the scriptures. You just put your nose in it and you'll understand that God hates it. Yes, there's grace and yes, there's mercy. And thank God for Psalm 51. But David lost a lot. You got to admit, David lost a lot. You know what God said to David? David, I've given you all this and I could have given you more. What'd you do? Samson lost his eyes. I'm like, come on. Many have been slain by her. Let's call it for what it is. Many have been slain for her because that's where it starts. It starts by looking and then inquiring and taking the next step. And before you know it, it's too late to pull back, my friend. You're gone. You know, Job and Job's friends realized that habitual looking and desiring. Jesus touched on it on the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, he wanted to get the Pharisees to look at their filthy sin because they were posh and self-righteous. He touched on it. Job and his friends knew that looking was a big deal to God. Have a look at Job chapter 31. Quickly turn there. Job chapter 31. We get the famous verse in verse 1. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? That's where it starts, doesn't it? Here, the thinking, looking, meditating. And then, my friend, you could just use your imagination. It's what happened to this man that was slain by this strange woman. That's where we get this famous verse. Why do we get this verse, beginning from verse 1, that we quote so passionately to use as convictions that we are not going to place ourselves into temptation? We're not going to watch Hollywood junk, and which is not, listen, it's X-rated now, mate. You watch Hollywood, I haven't seen one in ages, but I believe back then if it was R coming to X, what would it be now? And we use this verse to say, listen, I'm not even going to think or look upon anything. The psalmist says, I'm not even going to set my eyes on anything wicked. Amen? That's what the psalmist said. We use those principles. But why did Job utter this in verse 1? I tell you why. His friends said, Job, you are absolutely being judged by God because you've committed adultery. That's what. Come on, Job, tell us what we're up to. He lost his family. He lost his business. He lost his health, covered from head to toe with boils. And his friends are accusing him instead of comforting him because he did nothing wrong. God testified about Job that he was upright, he feared God, and eschewed evil out of all people. Job, please. But he copped it, said, Job, what'd you do? Did you commit adultery? He says, and that's how we get verse 31. We'll read onwards. Have a look. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Hey, God knew that I eschewed evil. He wouldn't even think I'd go there. I hate evil. I detest it. And verse 2, for what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, obviously. Whatever you sow, you reap. And a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity, absolutely. God is not a respecter of persons. We see that many have been slain and paid for the consequences, lost their lives, lost blessings of God. Verse 4, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Yep, he is watching. He knows your steps, Job. Verse 5, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hastened to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. Hey, judge me. I'm willing to be judged. I'm willing to suffer the consequences. I'm willing to do that. Hey, judge my integrity. Verse 7. If my steps have turned out of the way and my heart walked after mine eyes, if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow and let others eat. Yea, let my offsprings be rooted out. Verse 9. If my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. But I haven't done that. I'm far from it. I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not doing it. Because he understood that it was even in Job's days prominent, and how much more in our days. But we want to call it a lousy, just little stroke. It's okay. No, it's not okay. The strong have fallen. They're wounded. Their life have been taken from her. And he's only got self to blame. What do we want to be? The spiritual. Oh, you can be strong, but listen, are you spiritual? You can know scripture all you want, but are you spiritual? Are you applying the scriptures that you know? Amen? Amen? A spiritual person follows the word diligently. Diligently. Notice verse 1, and we're going to use this as our closing. You doing all right? You still with me here tonight? May God help us by his grace. Be faithful to him. Amen? Have a look at verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. What does that mean? Lay up, store up. It's a beautiful metaphor, like treasure. Keep them like treasure. What do you do with treasure? You put them out on the open? Where do you lay them up? In a safe? In a chest? Hidden somewhere? And God wants you to hide these treasures in your heart. Everything preached tonight, hide them. Hide them here, my friend. Hide them. Let this sound in your ear next time you've been tempted. Amen? Amen? Lay up these instructions that God has given us. God wants to bless us, but only a spiritual man can understand that. God is not against us, he's for us. Amen? Lay them up, and then have a look at verse 2. Keep my commandments, and what? Live.
Wow, praise God for that.
And my law as an apple of thy eye. You want to look at something? Look at the law of God. Look at the word of God. Amen. Look at the blessings when you obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. We sing it all the time. It's old fashioned. Get it in you. Understand it. Live it out. Live it out and you'll see it's true. I'll guarantee you it's true. God blesses those that trust him, and God blesses those that obey him. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Ah, my God is a good God. And he honors those that honor his word and trust his word. By the way, obeying the word of God is a byproduct of blessing. And I don't obey the word of God to be blessed. If I obey the word of God, this is going to happen. It's a byproduct. I obey the word of God because I just want to love God. And then loving God and obeying God, the byproduct is going to bless me. It's a byproduct. I'll live. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them on the table of thy heart. We looked at this in chapter 6, remember? Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. He wants you to have a close relation. And call understanding thy kinswoman. Close friendship, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. You know what happens to a spiritual man? Diligently keeps the word of God. Whither shall a young man cleanse his way? How does the psalmist say? By taking heed unto thy word. I've found that the greatest encouragement that you can ever give anyone that's struggling with immorality or pornography is that verse. But it's one thing to know it, my friend, and it's sure another thing to live it. My word, no power. God's word, power. Power. But that's the problem. The spiritual man sees that it is, and it can help, and it diligently operates and helps and gets him to a point where, victory. God wants to give men victory. He does. Strengthen you in victory that you're not moved. God is able. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and glory to God in the church. And yes, he is. He's able. He's able to make a simple man into a spiritual man. And that's where we want to be. Amen? Amen. But then, second of all, the spiritual man fears divine authority. Have a look at verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path. Verse 24, hearken unto me now. She's talking. Listen, son. Listen to me and listen good. Ye that have ears, let him hear. There's got to be a fear for divine authority. My words are not my words, they're God's word. And God is giving us this admonition. God is saying, hearken. God is saying, listen to me. If you look at Proverbs chapter 5, we don't have time to look at it, but he says, how did not I hearken to my teachers? And listen, why? Because there's no fear. There's no fear of the Lord. The Bible talks about in 8. Look at chapter 8, verse 12. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way. And the forward mouth do I hate. There's a godly hatred for sin and every evil way. That's what Job was, a holy hatred for sin. You have a holy hatred for sin? If you do, my friend, you'll be spiritual and not simple. Amen? You'll be spiritual and not simple. The fear of the Lord says, like Joseph, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? Remember when Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife? And Joseph had the fear of God in his heart. And he said, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God. He had the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but one that fears the Lord shall be praised. The spiritual is one that fears the Lord, and God will praise her. God will lift her up. Amen. From strange to spiritual, from simple to spiritual. And that's where God wants us to be. May God help us tonight. May God help us understand this. Amen. Let's pray.